as I was reading some scriptures, and then the one that Pastor read, should I be behind the speakers for the feedback? And then the one that we read responsively, New King James, King James, and New American Standard use the word whosoever. So, I mean, we don't use that word in daily life, right? Like, I'm like, hey, we're having a small group at our church, at our house, and whosoever wants to come can come. You know, so, and whatsoever. Can you imagine if young people, like, started saying, oh, whatsoever, instead of like, oh, whatever. And so I got amused looking at all the whosoevers. I'm not going to preach about whosoever, though. That was just free thoughts from my mind as it rambles along. So we're going to stay in the series that Pastor started about, and the good news is. And so the good news is, King James Version, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So whoever, anybody, everybody, that's what is entailed in whosoever. So the good news is, the gift of God is free. There's a place setting with your name on it at a feast that's been prepared for you, and you're able to eat as much as you like. And so that's the good news. Lord Jesus, I pray that you anoint your word as only you can. The Holy Spirit inspired the written word of God, and then we bring it forth and break it up and talk about the themes. And so I just pray that there'll be ears to hear and hearts to receive as we go forward in our weakness, but your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. So Romans 10:11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Whoever believes in him, the other translation says, will not be disappointed. So whosoever, what believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gift is a free gift. So the verses are Romans 10:11 and then Romans 6:23. The grace of God through his son Jesus Christ is a free gift. The good news is this gift is free. It cost him everything, but for you and me, it's just a matter of receiving the gift. And have you ever noticed sometimes that people don't want to receive free gifts? Have you ever had that experience where you want to give someone a gift and they're kind of like, So, you know, sometimes people are just like,
Miss Tammy, I have a gift for you. This is a great gift.
Yeah, I don't think I want that gift. It looks pretty and all, but
you'll love it.
Yeah, I'm sure I will, but I don't get why you're giving me a gift anyways, and I think I'm all set. I don't need a gift.
Please take it.
No, whose idea was this gift?
My father picked it out. He always gives good gifts.
No. Yeah, I'm not. I would like to receive it, but once I open it and see what's inside, I'm kind of committed to having received it. So it's better for me just to not, okay? Just keep it to yourself.
Negotiating deal.
Oh, well, if you want to negotiate, I could get my purse. I could give you some money. You want that? I could give you some money or do some, you want your room cleaned or something?
No, this gift is free. You cannot pay for it. You can't pay for it.
Now, I'd feel a whole lot better if I could earn it somehow.
Would you just take it, please?
No. I think I'm good.
Maybe you can open it and see what's inside?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Well, I'll just leave it right here for you. Just in case.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to open it, because if I'm open it, then that means I've received the gift. So I'm just going to let it sit there a while, because I don't know what these folks are up to offering me a free gift. So you get it, how some people have a hard time receiving a free gift? It's too easy. It can't be that easy. It can't be, here's the gift, and you just have to believe and receive. People want it to be complicated. I was in Mexico City, and I saw a family in front of the basilica, crawling on their knees, toward the basilica, a very nice, well-dressed family. But as they crawled more than 100 feet, I watched them, the pain, their workout outfits were getting rips in the knees. And I'm not much into Spanish, but I'm in my head, I'm saying, no es necesario, porque Cristo vivo, no es necesario. You know, I in my limited Spanish, I was just bursting with everything in me to say, you don't need to do this. You don't need to pay penance. You don't need to crawl until you've torn your pants and bloodied your knees. Jesus Christ paid the gift, paid the price, and he's the free gift. So the good news is, this gift is free. The second part of the good news, this free gift will set you free. You accept the gift, and it will set you free. Now, there are some that can't see the gift of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, and we could turn there if you like. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul writes, if the good news we preached is veiled from anyone, it's a sign that they are perishing. Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining on them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So some folks have a legitimate, just blinded veil over them, and they can't hear the message. But if you hear the message and it resonates in your soul, that's the Holy Spirit saying to you, hey, I want to come in and have a feast with you, and I want to give you this free gift that the Father sent, his only Son, and whosoever, anybody, everybody, believeth on him should not be ashamed. So it's a free gift of God that's going to set you free. I don't know if you remember, but turn to Luke chapter 4. And if you don't want to turn, write down the verses so you can check it out later. But Luke chapter 4, and I want to just set the scene up for you. But Jesus comes back into the town where he was raised after he's been out in the desert. He comes back to Nazareth, and he goes into the synagogue. Now in the synagogue, they would read the Old Testament because they had Old Testament scrolls. That's what was in the synagogue. And also in the synagogue, they had the priest and the elders that would stand here. And they would have an empty chair a lot of times. Just like some people say they have dinner and they put an empty chair there for the unseen guest. You ever heard about people who do that? The unseen guest, the reality that Jesus Christ is always in our midst. And so they put a chair there. And in the synagogue, the chair was empty, because it was about the Messiah who was about to come. And so Jesus, in verse 18, Jesus stands up, he opens up the scroll, and he reads from the book of Isaiah. And this is what he reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has appointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be free from their oppression, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And then you know what Jesus did? He did the unforgettable, the forbiddable. He sat down in the seat that was reserved for the Messiah. And that's why they chased him out and took him to a cliff and wanted to kill him right after that. Not just because he read those words, but he let them know, and that is fulfilled here in your sight today. And he sat in the empty chair in the synagogue to say, it's me. The favorable year of the Lord is now. That's the other good news. This is not a time for judgment. God wants everyone to come into a relationship with him. He's banging on your door. He wants everyone to come into this relationship with him. Is it too easy? Just like someone coming up and giving you a free gift and saying, here, there's no strings attached. You will love everything you learn about this gift. And it's not something that you can negotiate a deal. You can't give so much to charity that you kind of work it out. The only way that we can receive the good news is to receive Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His good news. So He sets the captive free, and John chapter 8 says, the Son sets free. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Is there anybody in here who's freer today than you were when before you came to Christ? Just a few hands. I'm free. I had compulsions, behaviors, thoughts, habits that were part of my sinful nature. And I didn't think I could rise up to the level. Have you ever heard people say, yeah, I can't do this Christian thing. I went to a church one time. I prayed that prayer, whatever that was all about, but I just can't do it. I just can't. I fail every time I turn around. The difference between someone who fails and bails because they think they can't do it, and the person who fails, and every time they fail, they turn to Christ and say, give me the strength to do this. That's why He gave also the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that you could be free. And He who the Son sets free, John 8:36, He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I went through some really tough years, and this was my motto during those tough years. I'm like, you're as free as you want to be. I could have given up. I could have said, I can't do this, patterns, habits. But I was like, every single day, if I failed the day before, I said, okay, God, I'm pressing forward because I still want my complete freedom. I may not have it yet. I have the free gift of Jesus Christ. I have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you're helping me to grow strong so that I can fulfill what you've called me to do. So He has given us a gift that will set us free, and we have been redeemed. If you'll look in Psalm 107, this is one of my key verses of my life. I'll give you a minute to get there. But in Psalm 107, and I'm reading the New Living Translation, but it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithfulness and His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others that He saved you from your enemies, for He has gathered the exiles from many lands, from the east, the west, the north, and the south. Some wandered in deserts. Have you ever been in a desert, dry place and feeling that you can't get to the place where you're going to be refreshed? Some were lost and homeless. Some were hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and He rescued them from distress. He led them the straight way to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for His great love and for all of His wonderful deeds. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So God has redeemed you. When do we use the word redeemed the most in this culture? Who said it? Coupon, coupon, coupon. So, and what is a coupon? Or a coupon? You cut it out of a magazine. You get stuff sent to you in the mail. It's a coupon. It's just a worthless piece of paper with some writing on it. But when you take that piece of paper to the right person, it's given value. Jesus Christ redeemed us. I was the worthless one who didn't deserve to be redeemed. But He put value on my life because while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Because He sees a greater vision for our lives than sometimes we see. He says, I want to pull you up. I want to take you out of the darkness. I want to break the chains off of you. I want you to be free. Because in this world, there's a lot of bondage. And not just with the folks who are in prison and the obvious people, but there's just a lot of things that hold us captive, right? And He wants us to be fully free. And I always say this. I taught a workshop about this one time. We don't have to get so free that we're fruity, you know? But He does want you to be free enough that you will have a fruitful life, a life that is contagious with others. The free gift will set you free. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life, in John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. But when we get a taste of the goodness of God, we're always hungry for more. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We hand out little blue testaments sometimes when we're at restaurants, and a lot of times I'll circle that verse and I'll say to the waitress, hey, there's a verse in the Bible that's about restaurant business, and I'll circle it, and it's Psalm 34:8 that taste and see that the Lord is good. Just give them a chance. Taste and see. Like, give the gift a chance. You don't know. It might be something really great. And what's holding you back from accepting the free gift of Jesus Christ? So whosoever. And the ironic thing is, Jesus says you will hunger and thirst no more. But that's in the natural. That's that big cavity you have in your heart that you try and fill with empty things. The world is feasting on junk food and trying to fill a hunger in their heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. But when you taste and see that He is good, you know what? You get hungry for more. You get hungry for more. You're not satisfied with just a little bit. You're not satisfied with coming in a few doors, meeting a few friends, singing a few hymns, because you realize there's something more to this. I wasn't set free just so that I could just eat it all up and enjoy myself with a nice community of people that I like, that I love. But there's more to this. It's the kingdom of God. And if you have ears, you will hear what the Lord is saying to His people. He wants the good news of God's kingdom to come right now. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This is not a time of judgment. There's a time of judgment coming. But right now is the time when God's offering the free gift that will redeem you, that will free you, that will satisfy your soul. In closing, I want to just talk about a story. And it's 2 Kings 7, verse 9. And it's a little obscure story here in the Old Testament. But when I stumbled on it, it just said so much to me. It's a story about how Elijah prophesied that Samaria, the famine in Samaria, there was a famine, there was darkness, people were eating horses. There's one instance in this where they were eating children, their own, they were cannibals, because they'd been in a siege so long against their enemy. And so the lepers are down, and this is, I'm just going to read to you the story. So Elijah has come in the middle of the famine, and he said, so I tell you what, tomorrow there's going to be more food than you can even imagine, and it's going to be available to you. And the elders of the city said, you're a madman. You're crazy. Even if the heavens would open, we could never have fixed this overnight. We'll never have enough food because we're in the depths of a famine. And so Elijah says in verse 2, he says, you will see it happen. But he said to the elder who said it won't happen, but you won't be able to eat any of it. So here's the story. There were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They said, we will starve if we stay here, and we will starve if we go back to the city. So we might as well go and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, we live. And if they kill us, we would have died anyway. So the evening they went out to the camp of the Aramaeans, but no one was there. For the Lord had caused the whole army of Aramea to hear a clatter of speeding chariots, the galloping of horses, and the sounds of a great army approaching. And the king of Israel, the Ammonites said to each other, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried out. So they panicked and fled into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else, and they fled for their lives. So do you get what is happening here? the Lord caused there to be a rumble that sounded like horses and chariots and a big battle coming against their encampment. So they thought, oh, Israel has gone and gotten Egypt and the Hittites to come and fight against us. And so in their fear, they abandoned their camp and they did it on foot in a rush. So when the lepers go, can you imagine this scene? It's a great scene because here all the tents, the weapons, the horses, and you're wondering, are they going to shoot me? Are they going to kill me? And you're starving. And you get to a place and you're like, well, I don't see anybody. But that piece of pork looks good. I don't see anybody but those Doritos over there. And the lepers start having a feast. They start just filling their face up because they can't believe it. Nobody is in the camp. And then what happens is one of the lepers says, this is not right. This is wonderful news. This is in verse 9. He says, this is not right. This is wonderful news. And we aren't sharing it with anybody. If we wait until morning comes, some terrible calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people and the palace. If you study about the moves of God throughout the history of the world, you usually find a few broken people who say, I'm not going to just sit here and die in the city. I'm going to take a chance. And I'm going to seek God. And that's what the lepers, they went out and they had this huge feast. And they were eating it. Can you imagine just gorging themselves? And they're like, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. We're over here eating all these things. We need to go back and tell the people who considered me an outcast, the people who can marginalize me and kept me outside the city walls because of my diseases, the people who say they weren't broken, but I am broken. But we need to go back and share the good news that there's unlimited amounts of food in this camp and that God has overcome our enemy. And so the broken are the ones that find the feast, the place at the tables. And eventually it gets to the royals and the palaces. Any move of God that you study in the British Isles, it was two little ladies who saw their island just totally godless. And they went out into a barn and started praying that God would show up. They wanted to share the feast of knowing God with the island. They didn't want the enemy to have succeeded in beating them down. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
In Luke chapter 14 is this parable about the banquet. Does anyone remember the story? Can I just tell it to you the way I remember it? They go out and the king is having a feast. It's banquet time, it's feasting time, and he's got the table set with a royal setting and the place cards with your names on it and everybody else's names on it. And he says, go out there and invite them in so that my house will be full. And they go up and they go to the first guy and they said, hey, the king has prepared a dinner and it is good. Come to our house. Oh yeah, I can't. I just got a new set of oxen and the cart, and I got to break them in, you know. I got to figure out this thing, how to do this. They went to another guy, and they said that the king has set a feast. Come to the feast. Come sit at his table. All are welcome. Oh, I can't. I just got married, and I have a year, which this is true in the Old Testament. I have a year to make my wife happy, and I'm just going to be hanging out with my wife. I don't have time for the king's banquet. And so finally, the king looks, and he says, there's so much space available. Go out there and compel them to come in. Go to every alleyway. Go to every place that you can find and tell them that I want my house to be full. That's the good news. That's the good news that the lepers, when everybody else missed it, the ones who were desperate got it. The ones who were desperate got it. And if you follow so many times throughout history, take John Wesley, for instance. John Wesley was trying to bring awakening to the Anglican Church. He preached and preached, but his message wasn't being heard. There was pride and stiff necks. And so he went out and followed his friend George Whitfield to the fields. And he said, preach to these people, the coal miners, the poor, the ones who are overlooked in our society. Preach to them. And as he preached, multitudes of people started coming. Why? Because he had the good news. And eventually the good news went all the way to the palaces. But at first, it started with those who were desperate. Those who were desperate. They were hungry, and they needed a touch from God. You know, I think about it. Everyone says, because we have a lot of family and friends in this town, and a lot of preacher friends, well, where are you going to church? And I tell them where we go. And they're like, oh, I think I've seen that church. But you know what? We may not be the biggest church. We may not be the trendiest church. But we can be the hungriest church. We can be the church that says, yeah, no, I'm not going to just sit this one out. I am going to feast upon him. And as I feast upon him, I'm not going to keep it all to myself. I'm going to go out and share the good news. Now, I'm not so good at that. My husband, I married him 14 years ago or so. And he's as bold as you can get. He'll just go straight up to people. We were sitting at a dinner one time in Hendersonville, and the waiter's writing down our orders, and all of a sudden my husband goes, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And that guy goes, what? Huh? What? And I'm like, oh, just don't worry about my husband. That happens to him every now and then. And I just had to get the guy calmed down before, you know, I thought he was going to bail as our waiter. So my husband has this boldness about sharing the good news that I don't have. But in my personality, and as I get hungry for the Lord, I'm able to speak more and more. When I drive around the city with a rideshare company, I talk to people. Not every appointment is a divine appointment, but many are, where I realize they need to taste and see that the God is good. Amen. And I say to God, Lord, I was taking this lady down to Brentwood one day, and she had said something about a Christian radio station and how they treated her mother. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to have any life-giving conversation with this lady. And she was in my back seat, and I was like, but you know, I feel like I should. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I should or not. I need a sign from you. I just need to know, should I take a step in that direction and talk to her about things that are eternal, things that matter? And the license plate on the car in front of me said, God's got this. And I went, all right. So as we neared the rent-a-car place where she was going, I said to her as we got out, I said, you know, I know you're going through a hard time taking care of your mother. I went through that for about 3 years. It's a lot of work, takes a lot out of you. And I have a little New Testament here, has a lot of words of encouragement. She grabbed it out of my hand and she goes, I need this. She said, I'm in a writing group in Dallas. And she said, a lady was writing a book with a lot of scripture, encouraging stuff in it. And she says, I've never read stuff like that. But she asked me to read it, so I read it on the plane. And I need this because I need to look up the scripture she's talking about. Amen. You know what? Folks are hungry.
Yes.
Folks are hungry. I don't care if I'm the leper at the gate. I don't care if I'm the one that they've kind of looked at sideways. Folks are hungry for the good news. And it can't just be in here because not all of them are going to come in here.
That's right.
That's why Pastor Veron sits out and Walter goes and passes out tracts and Brother John goes out and sings on the bridge and looking for just one opportunity. One opportunity. What?
And a
yep. That's exactly right. And finding your place in the marketplace to share the goodness of God. And I get nervous, you know, because they can rate me bad if they don't like it. So I'm always like, Lord, I really need to know this is you because I don't want to lose my good rating. You know, I'm a 4.9 rating. I don't want people to hate me. But there are those who have ears to hear. And that prayer from 2 Corinthians 4:4 that says the God of this world has put a veil over their face so they can't see the truth because they're perishing. We can pray about that veil. We do for our own family members. We say, oh God, they don't know you. They know maybe going to a church on Easter or Christmas. They know the formula, but they don't know you. and you are good. And he wants us to know him. He wants us to know him as the real man of God. So he says to the disciples in Luke, he says, maybe you should just read Luke when you get home today, because there's just such great stuff about the good news. But he says, you've been granted the right to sit at the banqueting table. I'm going to show a little clip here that I bought a DVD for a ministry that I support. But if you'd watch this little clip with me, then I'll talk about more here in a minute. Seen a crowd that big? And I think they give a conservative estimate of 300,000. There's rallies like this going on all over Africa. That's in Ghana. They've been in Nigeria, where I grew up. They've been over in East Africa. And literally millions and millions of people are coming to know the Lord because of these rallies. You know, they talk about sharing your faith and they call it proselytizing. Like this dirty word. Like, hey, don't proselytize, just let everybody. But listen, our Savior, grace can't be trumped in any religion in the world. It can't be trumped. In Calcutta, they worship the god Kali. And when they have the festivals where they offer, and Kali is the god of destruction. And sometimes to give a really special offering, they cut themselves and give some jar of their own blood. Other religions, they beat themselves. They do everything. The good news of Jesus is almost too good to be true, right? It's a free gift. It's a free gift. I'm worried about the church in the West. I'm worried sometimes that we might be the ones who don't have time to come to the banqueting table because we've got so much going on, so much good stuff. I'm all set. I don't need that gift. Thanks. I'm good. Because what's going to be tied to that? But everything that's tied to Jesus Christ gets better and better. We go from glory to glory to glory. We just need to get hungry. We just need to taste and see that God is good, and then not get satisfied with just stepping into the edge of the water. We need to go out into where it's deep, because that's what God wants to do. He says in the last day that the kingdom of God will be preached in every nation of the land. Do you realize that last night, is Australia a full 24 hours behind us? 22? But do you realize this morning in Australia, they started singing the praises of God? And as the sun went across this globe and every country started waking up, sure, there were a lot who did not honor God. But all day long, as the sun goes from setting, rising to setting, on this day, across the world, in every language you can imagine, the name of the Lord is being praised. The name of the Lord is being praised. He says, if you reject me, I give it to the people, I give it to all the outcasts, because this is a good gift. This is the good gift of the kingdom of God. This is the good news. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to pay your way in. You just go to Jesus Christ and you say, have all of me. Have every bit of me. I don't want to be the ones who says I'm self-sufficient and I don't need that. Sure, has the church made its mistakes? Listen, I have studied church history all the way back from the first century AD. It's a messy history. It's messy. You can't believe things Christians have done in the name of the Lord. They've done a lot of rotten things. But there's always a small group that say, I don't care if we die. I don't care what happens. I'm going to seek the Lord Most High. I'm hungry for more than just routine. I'm hungry for more than just lip service. If this thing is real, I need it to be real all over me. I need it to be real in my neighborhood. I need it to be real in my car. I need it to be real in my bus. I need it to be real from the moment I wake up until I lay my head down at night. I am blessed. You know that song? In the morning when I rise, I am blessed. When I lay down at night, I am blessed. God wants to lavish his riches on y'all. He wants to lavish them on me. He gave me this gift when I was 30 years old. And I had failed him in every way. I had blasphemed his name. I had done everything I knew how to do out there in the world. But he took me back. And I said, all right, God, it's all or nothing for me. I'm not coming back just to play church. I'm coming back to get a hold of you and you and your fullness. And I don't want to be one of the ones that when you're inviting us to the banquet table, I say, no, yeah, I'm set. I'm good. I got stuff I got to do, you know. I got this payment I got to make. There's this party. There's this appointment. I don't want to be the ones that misses the kingdom of God, because now is the day of the Lord's favor. That's what he said when he read Isaiah 61. He says, I have been sent to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captive free. And now is the day of God's favor. Now is the day that he doesn't want any to perish, but for everyone to come to a knowledge of the everlasting, eternal life that is available with Jesus. Our land is in a famine. We are under siege. We are under siege by idleness, gluttony, drunkenness. I know. I drive in this city every single day. I said to the Lord the other day at the airport, I said, Lord, I just wish I could get a believer in my car. I don't want someone who's headed to the next party. I don't want someone who smells of liquor because they've come to Bashville, Party City. I said, I want to know that you're moving in this city. And don't you know the Lord spoils us? I pulled up to my pickup. It's a beautiful lady named Kimberly. She got in my car, and I mean, I didn't even get out of the driveway before I said, Kimberly, you're a believer, aren't you? She said, oh, yes, I am. And we lifted up the name of the Lord all the way to her house, and then I prayed for her, and she prayed for me, because the hungry are not going to just put up with the famine. We're going to say, Lord, I need a touch from you. I need a touch. I want to get hungry, because I need the Spirit of God in me so that I smell like the fragrance of life to those who are being saved. You know, we can be the perfume of heaven. If we keep Christ in our lives, people will see and know there's something here. I'm not proselytizing. I'm not trying to give them something bad. I'm just trying to say to them, hey, whosoever comes, he will give you the free gift of eternal life. It's not a dress rehearsal. We've been invited to the banquet. And I'm going to close with this. Let me say one more thing about that clip. My mom and dad went to Africa as missionaries in 1956. And I wrote that in a book that I wrote about them. And we lived in Massachusetts, so we had a lot of liberal, non-believing neighbors. And when you say I'm a missionary kid, they kind of look at you sideways like we were colonizing, like we were imperialists who were colonizing the African nations. Oh, where were you a missionary? Nigeria. And they're like thinking, oh, you tried to go over there and change their culture to make it look more like the West. Yeah, I think colonization did some of that. But missionaries didn't do that. Missionaries stepped into a culture and they let them, as you can see, they let them retain the things that were valuable in their culture. But then they gave him Jesus Christ. And one lady came to a meeting where my father was, and she says, thank you for coming and bringing Jesus Christ. I had twins. And in the village, the witch doctor told me it was an evil sign. So I had to decide which twin to go and put in the jungle for the wild animals to eat. And she said, if I had known your God earlier, I would not have sacrificed one of my children to the animist and to the gods, because their gods were cruel. Their gods demanded so much. Jesus just wants all of you. Will it wreck your life? You bet. It'll wreck your life. But let's get wrecked. Let's get hungry. Let's really get a hold of the good news and be free and be fed and just let the Father God. I wrote down one more thing and I just don't want to forget it. Romans chapter 12, it says, I will not be conformed to my culture, but I'll be transformed by the strength of the Holy Spirit. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So my question for you is, are you here to change the world? Are you here so that the world can change you? Which one? Because God wants to give you all he has because of the good news. Because this is the year of the Lord's favor. He's a good, good father. And we can trust him completely. We can trust him completely. Come to the feast. Don't miss out on the feast that God has for all of us. And it's a good time to remind you that he says, come like a child. You know how vulnerable children are? I heard a man say that he was reading that verse. He was getting his degree, a doctorate in theology. And his daughter was graduating from kindergarten. And she goes, look, Daddy, I'm a doctor too. And he said, Lord, what's this thing about being childlike? I don't want to have to be childlike. I'm a grown man. I've worked hard for my degrees. I'm an intelligent man. And the Lord showed him a picture of his little girl. And she would crawl up in his lap and be with him. She knew him. She didn't know about him. She knew him. And he said, I need my children to be vulnerable enough that they can say that they're not the smartest or they're not being sucker punched. But I need my kids to be vulnerable enough. They'll be childlike to come into my presence. They'll be humble and say, I don't have anything, Lord. Everything you have, I need. Pastor Veron, you want to come up and we could close this thing out together? taste and see that God is good. But when he fills you up,
amen.
He wants this good news to go out. So wherever your place is, pray for the folks to have the veil removed from their eyes so they can see the truth of the gospel. He's a good, good God.
Yes.
If you want prayer after this, please just come on up and we'll pray with you. And we want you to have this gift of Jesus Christ and live it to the fullness and come to the banqueting table with us and with the 300,000 plus. And that's a small, they cleaned out a dump. That was a small service. Lord, your name is being praised in every language, on every continent. We know that the way is narrow and that a lot of people will reject the message of Jesus Christ. But I thank you, because your word says that when this gospel is preached on every continent and every nation, then you will return for your people. And God, even in Papua New Guinea, where there's a missionary that this church supports, even in the most remote place, in Iran and Iraq and places in hidden away corners, there are people proclaiming and encouraging each other in Jesus' name. It's the name like no other. I thank you that we can't earn it. I thank you we can't pay for it. I thank you for the free gift of Jesus Christ in your eternal life. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the realization of that will just come upon this body of people, and may we be hungry, God. May we be the lepers who are out there at the gates of the city and say, I'm not satisfied just to sit here and die.
Yes.
I'm going to go get some food. Lord, we need that awakening because our land is in a famine right now. We go through a lot of motions. We do a lot of things. We know how to do the church thing. But God, you want our hearts, and you want all of our hearts, and you want to take us to a feast where there is joy unspeakable and where we get full of you, but we still hunger for more.
Yes.
So God, I just pray in the name of Jesus. I pray over this congregation of such incredible, incredibly gifted people who love each other. In the spite of our cultural differences and all the different places we come from, I thank you. And I thank you that we're the ones that you can use to feed the world through us, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you remove the veil over anyone's eyes if they're sitting here and they can't see the fullness of the gospel. I pray that you just shatter that veil that the God of this world has put over their eyes so that they can open up their heart and say, come, Lord Jesus. I'm a whosoever. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And let's feed the world. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Tammy.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Appreciate it. Would you show your appreciation to her? Just thank you so much. Hunger. Man, I'm hungry for the Lord. And I'm appreciative that we worship with a bunch of people who are hungry for God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love what you said. Maybe your mission field is not ride share. Maybe your mission field is a bus or a grocery store or whatever. Our theme for the year has been show Jesus, share Jesus. Live for him and speak about him. And I hear from many of you just, hey, I got a chance to talk to this one. I got a chance to talk to that one. God's moving like that in your hearts. And that makes all the difference in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed worship today. Our young people, would you put your hands together for our young people that led worship today? Such an incredible job. Including a couple of them who had solos for the first time. That was so cool. Amen.
Yes.
And listen, that's not an easy thing to do, is stand up in front of a whole bunch of new people and sing
Amen.
A solo. And they did a great job.
Oh,
praise the Lord. So appreciate you. I'm going to meet with the men. If we can kind of, once we dismiss, if you guys can just come to the front, we're going to just talk for maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10, and then let you go. Everybody else, I love you. Thank you so much for coming. If you're out here for the first time, thanks so much for coming. Appreciate you. Thank you. Really, like, clap. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. My brother, good to see you again, man. Welcome back. Good to see you. Man, what a blessing.
Brother Mike.
Those of you who came out, we said it earlier, if you came out for the movie and the brunch yesterday, we're our cooks. Raise your hand if you cooked. You didn't cook. Put your hand down. Serenity cooked. Where's Clara? Is Clara here somewhere? Oh, there you go. She cooked. You guys enjoy the pancakes and the... They burned nothing. I burned one pancake and threw it away. You didn't cook. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Next week, next week we have a dinner. We have a lunch here after service, and so we're asking if you can bring a compliment. What do you call it? A side dish? Is that what you call it? If you can bring a side, so we're gonna make what do they call those things with the noodles? Spaghetti. Yeah. Baked spaghetti. So we're going to have that. And so bring desserts. Bring some vegetables, please. Someone bring vegetables. I need to eat my vegetables. So bring some veggies or side, some juices, things like that. Go ahead and bring that. And that's cool. Is that right? That's in your announcement page as well. So that'll be right after the service. And every fifth Sunday, we're going to have that, a chance to. In fact, we've been talking about having an international day. Yes. And the next one, that's going to be pretty cool. Yes. So think about that. I think that's everything. I'm sure. Oh, if you're a member and you haven't filled in your paper, please drop that off. I'm going to take that basket back at the end of the week. So go ahead and bring that back. And I think that's it. Bible study tonight. Yep. Here and in Hendersonville. So, Levio, would you stand? I'm going to say a blessing over you and then let you go. And make sure you, as you leave, give someone a high five. Tell them thank you for coming to church. May the presence of God dwell in us richly. May we continue to live a life that's hungry for you. And as we seek after you, our hearts longing for you, may we fill our thirst with you. Lord, the peace that's missing in any of our hearts is a God-shaped peace that only God can fill. And so, Lord, may we be a people that are hungry after being filled by you and then commissioned to go out and share the good news of the gospel that others might enjoy this feast that you have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming out. I love you guys. And men, feel free to come up to the front and we'll chat a little bit. And if you're not a man, talk quietly.